in out-of-the-way places of the heart, where your thoughts never think to wander, this beginning has been quietly forming, waiting until you were ready to emerge. For a long time, it has watched your desire, feeling the emptiness growing inside you, noticing how you willed yourself on, still unable to leave what you had outgrown. It watched you play with the seduction of safety and the gray promises that sameness whispered, heard the waves of turmoil rise and relent, wondered, would you always live like this? Then the delight when your courage kindled and out you stepped onto new ground, your eyes young again with energy and dream, a path of plenitude opening before you. Though your destination is not yet clear, you can trust the promise of this opening. Unfurl yourself into the grace of beginning that is at one with your life's desire. Awaken your spirit to adventure. Hold nothing back. Learn to find ease in risk. Soon you will be home in a new rhythm, for your soul senses the world that awaits you. It's always interesting to plan worship when New Year's Day falls on a Sunday. This year we thought about canceling services. Honestly, I thought about that. But I decided to go ahead. We weren't sure how many people would show up, but look at all of you. I'm impressed and appreciative, truly appreciative that you're here. It's a wonderful way to begin the new year together. At the turn of a new year, it's appropriate that we pause, that we look back on the past year with its joys and accomplishments, with its pain and struggles. I mean, now, maybe you're the kind of person who has already done that. But in case you're not that kind of person, and like many of us during the holidays, you're just hanging on for dear life with little time to reflect, we're going to take a moment now to do that. Now, before we move to considering our personal lives, I'm going to take a quick buzz through 2016, the big picture. 2016 was a year defined in many ways by political turmoil at home and abroad. In the past year, we have seen monumental disappointments, a massive refugee crisis, global refugee crisis. We've seen terrorism and violence in faraway places like Nice, in Syria, last night, a shooting in Istanbul, as well as places closer to home like Orlando and Dallas. In 2016, our phones exploded, the Zika virus spread, and Ryan Lochte may or may not have vandalized a bathroom in Rio. We lost entertainers and actors that we love. Even though we don't know them personally, we value their contributions. We like the world a little bit better with them in it. And we feel an emotional loss. We've lost some great thinkers and poets. Of course, there were positive big picture things too. Some of them I didn't even know until I was writing this sermon and looked it up. There have been some incredible accomplishments this past year. Did you know, for example, that in 2016, the teen birth rate in the United States fell to an all-time low? The unemployment rate is lower than it has been in 10 years. The U.S. high school graduation rate rose to an all-time high. In 2016, 83% of students earned diplomas. Harriet Tubman is going to appear on the $20 bill. I think that's awesome. The Rangers had a great season, even though they sort of fell apart at the end. The Cubs finally won the World Series. Some very important things actually went very well in 2016. I'll let you decide which are the important ones and which are the less important things. It's good to reflect on the big picture and to consider our individual role in how the big picture unfolds. But when things don't go as we like, it can really take a personal toll, because any individual has little control over the big picture, right? We have more power to impact our personal lives and the lives of the people closest to us. So I'm going to ask you some reflection questions to think back on the last year in your life. And I'm going to give you a little silent time to think about each one. Do you remember, for example, what you did on New Year's Day last year? What you did a year ago today? Helen was celebrating her anniversary, I guess, and Diane her birthday. Or can you think of an event in January of last year, something that you can mark in time? There's also a little space in your bulletin if you want to take some notes on this. If you identify an event early in 2016, it kind of gives you a starting point to consider the last year of your life. So what were you doing at this time last year? In your work, whatever it is, with your friends, with your family? I'll give you just a moment to think about that. Now think about how your year unfolded. What happened for you? How did you spend your birthday in 2016? What brought you joy during the past year? What caused you pain? What did you do? And who did you spend time with? Again, I'll give you a moment to think about that. What about this past Christmas, just a few days ago? Did you get what you wanted? Were you happy with what you gave? Are you at peace with how you spent Christmas? It's been said that the way we understand our lives is that we develop a story around them. You know, we can't remember every event, every feeling, every experience. So we tend to remember those things that are consistent with our identity, with the story that we tell about ourselves. And we don't notice the things that are inconsistent with that story, right? Like when I asked you to recall what your year was like, if you think of 2016 as having been a tough year, then you might first have thought of events that were consistent with the struggle. Those may have been the things that sprung quickly to your mind. For example, a year ago, I was about ready to have my knee replaced, about ready to have surgery. And the rehab for me was really hard. So when I was thinking about my year, I thought about those months of being laid up and struggling and doing those blasted exercises. I thought of all of that before I thought of the 6 months that I can walk without pain, you know, at least on that knee. Well, maybe you thought of when you were sick without realizing the many, many days that you felt well. You remembered when someone you loved was hurting without considering that most of the people you love enjoyed positive experiences in 2016. We sort of fail to see the totality of our life experience because we elevate the importance and the impact of particular events. We see our lives through a lens that we create by the story that we decide to tell about ourselves. Every reality, every life, is this combination of light and dark. We actually need both. But if we tell a dark story about ourselves, then we will tend to see the darkness. And of course, the reverse is true. Next week, the church year enters the season of Epiphany, with its focus on the light of Christ, the light that illuminates the darkness. Now, I'm not big on New Year's resolutions. It was Mark Twain who said, "The new year is the accepted time to make your annual regular resolutions. Next week, you can begin paving the road to hell with them as usual." But drawing from ancient Epiphany imagery of following light, we might do well to make a New Year's resolution to do the same, to resolve to the best of our abilities to look for the light, to see with Epiphany eyes. And what if we refuse to go along with the cynicism and the negativity that seems to rule the day, and instead resolve to look for the light in everything, in everyone we encounter? The way we understand the stories of our lives matter. Epiphany eyes can help us to see the same old realities of our lives in new ways. Epiphany eyes can help us to see people differently and experiences differently. Epiphany eyes can help us modify our stories. For we are all storytellers. We write the chapters of our lives every single day. From what perspective will we write? As a victim or a person of power? As a lover or a hater? As someone who is only angry and defeated? Or as someone who is softened by beauty and grace that is always present? In the coming year, what chapters in our lives will we write? And what will be read by the likes of the people around us? Not on our tombstones, but in our emerging, living story right now. Now we stand on the cusp of this new year. What experiences will it hold for you? How will you understand and remember the things that you encounter in the coming year? You know, none of us knows what 2017 will hold, but we may be assured that somehow our futures are all held in holy hands, and that the light of Christ will shine. In just a moment, we're going to share communion together. We'll come forward to receive the bread and the fruit of the vine. Today we have bread and grapes. So to help us prepare our hearts to share in this holy meal, we're going to sit and listen to a song by Mary Chapin Carpenter called "Come Darkness, Come Light." The words are printed in your bulletin if you want to follow them. This song is a reminder to honor the light and the darkness that are present in every life, and to remind ourselves that we come to God exactly as we are. God loves us unconditionally. God takes us just as we are and loves us for precisely who we are. I think the church has done so much damage to people by reinforcing that message that God loves us in spite of ourselves. It's not true. God loves us because of ourselves, because of who we are. No matter where we are in our journeys, God welcomes us. The light of Christ has come. I'm going to play this song sort of old school by holding the microphone up to my cell phone, so let's see how it goes.
Love to this world tonight. soul. Come any way that you know. Alleluia. There's a humble stable and a light within. There's an angel hovering, three wise men. Today a baby's born in Bethlehem. Alleluia. Come doubting, come sure, come fearful to this door. Come see what love is for. Alleluia. Heavy load. Alleluia. There's a humble stable and a light within. There's an angel hovering, three wise men. Today a baby's born in Bethlehem. Alleluia. I'm dark. Come new star, shining bright. Come love to this world tonight. Alleluia. Come darkness, come light. Come new star, shining bright. Come love to this world tonight.
Mary Chapin Carpenter enjoyed the backup singers there. Sounding, thanks for singing along. That was cool.